Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really pivotal case for anyone interested in the world of commercial leases, especially if you're, a law student navigating the intricacies of property and contract law. We're diving into DVM Coe v. Bricker, an Arizona Supreme Court decision that, well, even though it dates back to 1983, it still casts a pretty long shadow on how these agreements are interpreted.
Exactly. This case really gets down to the foundational questions you'll encounter. When can a commercial landlord actually, terminate a lease? Is it only for the big, obvious violations, or can even like seemingly minor slip-ups lead to eviction? And importantly, what happens if the landlord keeps accepting rent while they're actually trying to kick the tenant out? We've sifted through a case brief, a perplexity analysis, and our own guidance to bring you the critical takeaways from this decision.
Okay, so let's set the scene because it's all about the details here.
Yeah.
DVM Company, they own a retail spot in Metro Center Mall. They lease it to John and Kathleen Bricker, who operate a business called Basket House. Their lease agreement is pretty specific. They're allowed to sell Arizona souvenirs. Seems straightforward, right?
It does, on the surface. But the lease goes a step further, and this is where things get interesting. It clearly states that if the Brickers want to use the space for any purpose other than selling Arizona souvenirs, they absolutely must get written permission from DVM.
Ah, okay. Written permission.
Yeah, and the rent structure also includes a percentage of their gross sales, which is, pretty common in retail. It kind of aligns the landlord's interest with the tenant's success.
Gotcha. And this is where the story takes a turn. The Brickers decide to, well, expand their offerings. They start selling t-shirts. Now, you might initially think, okay, maybe they're Arizona-themed t-shirts, still kind of in the souvenir ballpark, but nope. These are t-shirts featuring movie and TV characters. Definitely not your classic saguaro cactus or Grand Canyon vista.
Right, not exactly Arizona souvenirs.
Not at all. And crucially, they didn't get DVM's sign-off, not in writing, not verbally, nothing, to sell these. This seemingly small act is what kicks off our entire legal deep dive.
Right. And from DVM's perspective, this was a clear-cut violation of that use restriction in the lease. They argued that by selling these unapproved t-shirts, the Brickers had breached their contractual agreement.
So naturally.
So naturally, the legal battle began. DVM sued to terminate the lease and, regain possession of the property.
And this is where we see the lower courts approaching the issue with a certain, maybe more equitable lens. The trial court looked at the situation and, yeah, they acknowledged that the Brickers had technically gone against the lease
Sure, it's all the t-shirt.
by selling the unauthorized t-shirts, but they didn't view it as significant enough. Not enough to warrant such a drastic remedy as forfeiture, basically losing the lease. They actually labeled the breach as not material.
Not material, okay.
Yeah, and based on that assessment, they refused to allow DVM to terminate the lease. And then the Court of Appeals essentially echoed this sentiment, agreeing with the trial court.
But then it went higher. The Arizona Supreme Court, when they took on the case, really shifted the focus. Their perspective wasn't centered on this idea of whether the breach was, a big deal or not. Instead, their interpretation hinged on a very specific piece of Arizona legislation. Arizona Revised Statutes, Section 33361. This is really the crux of the Supreme Court's reasoning.
Okay, so let's really unpack this first key legal issue. The whole concept of materiality. Does a breach have to be substantial to justify ending a lease? It sounds like the lower courts were thinking about fairness. Was DVM really harmed by these movie t-shirts?
Exactly. The lower courts were definitely leaning on those equitable principles, suggesting that to justify something as serious as eviction, losing a business, the tenant's violation needed to be significant, cause real harm to the landlord.
Makes intuitive sense.
It does. But the Arizona Supreme Court took a much more literal statutory approach. They directly cited ARS Section 33-361, which, and this is the killer phrase, states, there is no requirement that the breach be material.
Wow.
Yeah. That single sentence really changes the game.
Okay. That is incredibly direct. So what the Supreme Court is essentially saying is it doesn't matter if everyone thinks the t-shirt sales were minor. If the lease clearly said Arizona souvenirs only and the Brickers sold something else without permission, that's a breach, period. And under the statute, that breach can be grounds for terminating the lease. It's a much more rigid, black and white contractual interpretation.
Precisely. The Supreme Court's position was that the statute grants the landlord the right to re-enter and take possession if the tenant fails to comply with any covenant in the lease.
Any covenant.
There's no built-in exception for breaches that might seem trivial or, you know, inconsequential. This ruling really signals a move away from maybe a more flexible, fairness-based approach in Arizona commercial lease law towards a much more rigid contractual one.
So it really forces both sides.
It forces both landlords and tenants to treat every single clause, no matter how seemingly insignificant, with, like, utmost seriousness.
It's interesting because the case brief mentions that DVM even tried at the trial level to bring in evidence showing these t-shirt sales were actually hurting other tenants in the mall.
Right. They wanted to show some kind of impact.
Yeah, but the trial court didn't even let that evidence in. And thinking about it from the Supreme Court's angle now, it sounds like that evidence wouldn't have even mattered to them because the materiality of the breach just wasn't the deciding factor under their reading of the statute.
That's a very insightful observation. The Supreme Court essentially said, look, whether or not the t-shirts were hurting other businesses is irrelevant to the fundamental question. Was the lease agreement violated?
Simple as that.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. The lease clearly defined the permitted use. The Brickers deviated from that without getting the required consent. And according to the statute, that in itself was potentially enough to trigger forfeiture.
Okay, all right. Let's shift gears to the second major point here. What about DVM continuing to accept rent payments from the Brickers while this whole legal fight was going on?
Ah, yes, the waiver argument.
Exactly. The Brickers argued that by taking their rent, DVM was basically signaling, okay, we're still good, and therefore they'd given up or waived their right to try and terminate the lease. Seems like a pretty reasonable argument from the tenant's side, doesn't it?
It does seem logical on the surface, you know. Mm. You'd naturally assume if someone's willingly taking your money every month, they probably aren't simultaneously trying to evict you.
Right, like, I'll pick a lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, the Supreme Court's reasoning on this point was quite pragmatic and legally distinct. They reasoned that the tenants, the Brickers, were still occupying the premises. They were still using the space.
Okay.
So as long as they held possession of that retail spot, they had a continuing obligation to pay rent according to the terms of the lease agreement. That obligation didn't just vanish because there was a lawsuit about a breach.
So the court's view was that accepting that rent money was just acknowledging an existing debt. Not saying everything's fine with the t-shirts.
Precisely. It wasn't an indication that DVM was suddenly okay with the unauthorized t-shirt sales or that they were relinquishing their right to pursue the termination through the lawsuit.
They're separate things.
Exactly. The court made a clear distinction. The obligation to pay rent continues until the lease is legally terminated by a final judgment. Accepting those payments during the litigation doesn't automatically translate to a waiver of the landlord's right to seek forfeiture based on the prior breach. These are treated as separate legal concepts.
Okay, that makes sense when you lay it out like that. So when we put it all together, what's the core principle that emerges from DVM Covey Bricker? What's the key rule of law that this case really hammers home, at least for Arizona commercial leases?
The fundamental rule is that in Arizona commercial leases, landlords possess a significant power to strictly enforce the terms outlined in the lease agreement.
Strictly enforce?
Yes. They are not necessarily required to demonstrate that a tenant's breach caused them substantial financial or material harm in order to pursue lease forfeiture. If the lease explicitly prohibits certain actions, any violation of those terms can serve as grounds for termination, assuming, of course, the lease itself allows for that remedy.
So the lease terms themselves are key, too.
Absolutely. This ruling really underscores the importance of the written contract and the specific language used in commercial lease relationships in Arizona.
And this really highlights the significance of that statute again, ARS Section 33-361, doesn't it? It seems to just override those more general ideas of fairness or equity that the lower courts were initially looking at. It does. It's like the Supreme Court is saying, hey, the legislature spoke clearly here and the plain language of the law is what governs.
Absolutely. The case strongly emphasizes the primacy of statutory text in this area of law. While courts often consider principles of equity, when there's a clear and relevant statute like this one, it carries considerable weight. The Supreme Court essentially interpreted the landlord's statutory right to re-enter upon any breach to mean exactly that, any breach, regardless of its perceived significance or materiality.
This has some pretty significant real-world implications, particularly for, you know, our listeners who are law students. What are the key takeaways from this case that they should really be keeping in mind as they move forward?
Well, for starters, this case serves as a stark reminder of the critical importance of precise and unambiguous lease drafting for both sides.
For landlords and tenants.
Exactly. Landlords, seeing this decision, might be even more inclined to incorporate very specific and restrictive clauses into their commercial leases to protect their interests, knowing they have strong statutory backing for enforcement.
And flipping that, for tenants, it sounds like they absolutely must be incredibly diligent, like meticulously diligent.
Mm-hmm. In understanding and adhering to every single covenant within their lease agreement, no matter how seemingly minor or inconsequential it might appear at the time.
Yeah, I mean, selling those movie-themed t-shirts might have seemed like just a small business decision to the Brickers, maybe a good way to boost sales.
Right, a minor expansion.
But as we've seen, it potentially led to the loss of their entire lease, their entire business in that location.
Exactly. A seemingly innocuous clause, like one prohibiting unauthorized merchandise, can be strictly enforced based on this ruling. Tenants can't just assume that a minor deviation from the lease terms won't be a problem or will be overlooked.
They need to be proactive.
Definitely. They need to proactively seek that written consent from the landlord for any changes in use, any new product lines, anything that might arguably fall outside the strict interpretation of the lease. This case really underscores the need for like open communication and careful documentation in these relationships.
It also acts as a powerful illustration, doesn't it, of how specific statutes can fundamentally shape the legal landscape. They can even override what might seem like common sense or those general legal principles of fairness we talked about. Mm. The lower courts thought materiality mattered, but the statute's language, as interpreted by the Supreme Court, said otherwise.
That's a crucial lesson to internalize as a law student. Always, always delve into the specific statutory language that governs a particular area of law. Don't just rely on general principles. And as we've discussed, this case does appear to have a rather, well, harsh outcome for the Brickers.
It does seem harsh.
Losing their lease, potentially their business, over selling t-shirts deemed not to be Arizona souvenirs. Mm-hmm. It really highlights the potentially unforgiving nature of this strict statutory interpretation. It definitely prompts you to consider the balance between strict contractual enforcement and, you know, principles of equity in commercial law.
Yeah, definitely. So just to recap the absolute core of DVM Kuvy Bricker, in Arizona commercial leases, a landlord potentially has the power to terminate the lease for any breach of the lease terms by the tenant.
Any breach.
They don't necessarily have to prove the breach was significant or material. And second big point, if a landlord keeps accepting rent while they're suing to terminate for that breach, that acceptance doesn't automatically mean they've waived their right to terminate.
Precisely. So the big takeaway for law students, pay very, very close attention to the specific wording, both the relevant statutes and the lease agreements themselves. As this case clearly demonstrates, those specific words can carry significant and sometimes quite unexpected legal consequences.
Absolutely. And that leads us to our final point for you, our listeners, to consider. Given the strict statutory interpretation in Arizona commercial lease law, how might this influence the way future commercial leases are negotiated and how landlords and tenants interact in that state?
Good question.
Does prioritizing this strict enforcement of contractual terms over maybe more flexible equity-based considerations, does that have broader implications for the overall commercial environment and maybe the balance of power between landlords and tenants?
Yeah, where are those broader policy implications?
Exactly. It's definitely a critical question to ponder as you continue your legal journey. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.